On February 1, 1968, Eddie Adams photographed a South Vietnamese general in the act of executing a Viet Cong prisoner on a Saigon street. That image became one of the most famous of the Vietnam War, earned Adams a Pulitzer Prize, and has been credited with changing public opinion about the war. A new book of his photos from the war, Eddie Adams Vietnam, has been published by Umbridge Editions, edited by his widow, Alyssa Adams, including excerpts from Eddie's diaries, with a text by Hal Buell, who was the AP bureau chief in Saigon at the time. I'm very pleased to welcome both of them to my show today. Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Alyssa, Eddie died in 2004, and in an author's note, you write that if he were alive today, he would not have allowed this book to happen. Why?
Well, he actually didn't allow hardly any books to happen when he was alive. I knew him for 20 years, and there must have been five or six times when we tried to put together a retrospective of his work. And each time, each book wasn't good enough, and he'd tear it up. So after a couple...
Was he just that hard?
He was that hard on him. He was self-critical and very hard on himself. And But in terms of this particular book, a book on Vietnam and a book with this picture, I think that a lot of times he resented being known for just this picture because he took so many great pictures. And so I certainly don't think he would have done this book.
But this is quite a dramatic picture. Mm-hmm. Did he regret taking it?
I don't know that he never said he regretted taking it. I know that he had a lot of probably mixed feelings. And when I met him in the early 80s, this was kind of a closed chapter in his life. And it was something that I really never discussed with him. And after he passed away, the intent was to do a retrospective of his work. And I started with the Vietnam material, and I realized that there was so much material there, and it was such a good story, not only about that picture, but about how war was covered in Vietnam, that I thought that should really be the first book.
Yeah, there could be mm-hmm. other books.
Eddie didn't regret taking the picture, I don't think. This is right there, but I think he regretted the impact of the picture and what a follow-up was from the picture.
Because he didn't see this as a negative act as many people interpreted it.
That's correct. And he also learned that Lo An was motivated in part by the death of his aide and his aide's family.
Yeah, we talked about that when he was on the show. I was surprised that he came to the defense of the general, but he said that this man had been responsible for so many deaths. It was an understandable situation in a time of war. But was this a unique situation? You were in Vietnam
at
the time.
I was in Vietnam earlier, but it also took place right after the beginning of the Tet Offensive, so there's a terrific amount of fighting going on at that time.
When did you first meet Eddie? Were you his boss when he was covering the Vietnam War for AP?
Yes, I was. When I came back from Japan, I was assigned to Japan for many years. When I came back, Eddie had joined the AP staff, and that's when I first met him. And my job was to bring new ideas to the wire service, and Eddie was very receptive to that.
Was this the only war that he ever covered?
No, he covered 13 wars, wasn't it, Alyssa? 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did he see himself as a war photographer?
You say he didn't? No, in fact, he specifically said he did not see himself as any special kind of photographer.
He didn't want to be called a photojournalist either.
He said he was a photographer. He didn't like the word photojournalist. And he saw himself as a photographer. He said titles tend to limit your assignments, which is probably true to some extent.
So was Vietnam just another news story for him, or did he feel it was different from other things that he'd covered?
Well, Eddie was a Marine when he was 17. He joined the Marines when he was 17. And
that's where he got started covering war?
No. Well, I think by that time the Korean War was winding down, but he really was enamored with the Marines. And when the Marines were going over to Vietnam, he decided that was the time to go and follow them.
So he went in his mind in support of the military.
I don't know if it was in support, but I think he knew that he could work well with the Marines because he knew how they thought and how they moved around.
And he had personal friendships among the higher-ranking officers in the Marine Corps.
And there are many pictures of American troops in the book. Was he more or less what is now called embedded?
No. They didn't know. The Vietnam War was covered differently than embedding. In those days of Vietnam, the access to the battles was incredible. you just go out to the helicopter pad and say, where are you going? Well, I'm going down the Coochie to bring in medical supplies. Can I come along? Yeah, hop on board. All you needed was the pilot to say, come on board. So you go anywhere you wanted to go.
Do you regret that that sort of thing hasn't happened since?
Well, it certainly reduced the coverage. And you just don't get access to battles immediately the way you could in Vietnam. As soon as there was word of a battle, you'd run out and hop on a chopper and get down there or up there or over there.
Well, any number of people, I don't know whether this is true of you, but any number of people I've spoken to who went to Vietnam to cover the war say they went in support of the war, and by the time they came home, they were in opposition to the war.
Well, I think Alyssa was on the right track. Eddie did not have a political or social agenda. He just didn't. He was interested in making wonderful photographs. That was his motivation. And when he was frustrated in that attempt, he'd get really angry about it.
All of the photos in the book are in black and white. Was that his personal preference, Alyssa?
Well, he was working for the Associated Press when he was over there, and that's basically how they covered the war in black and white.
Because it was go to newspapers mostly.
That, and I think it was the technology, and I think that it was also the fastest way to get the pictures back home.
Mm-hmm. Did he process them himself?
Well, we had a staff there, and someone else actually processed the film and edited the film. Horst Voss, who a Vietnam photographer of some double Pulitzer winner of some repute, edited the film and found it. Eddie said about color, he said, how's that quote go, Alyssa, about...
He said something to the effect that the war was too pretty in color and it should only be shot in black and white.
Yeah. Oh, he said, color is lush and beautiful. The jungle is lush and beautiful, but it's not nice. Mm-hmm. So he didn't shoot much color.
We should point out that in the book, we see a series of photographs. We see this story as it unfolds. The most famous photograph is just one of many. How come the others weren't ever shown? Or were they? I've never seen them before.
Well, yeah, a lot of those pictures are very well known. You could recount them, you know, but of course the one picture stands out so far and above the others. And the book is laid out chronologically, so it does show it. And bear in mind, there were no combat troops in Vietnam until the Marines went there, and that's when Eddie went there. So he went in with the first combat troops.
And how long had he been there when he took this picture? This is 1968.
He went over in 65 and was there for about a year, and then he came home and he went back, and he went back twice, so I think this was his third time over.
He went the first time, then had to leave, and then ended. And it was home for about a year and then went back. And when he went back, he ran into the Tet Offensive.
My guests are Hal Buell, who was the Associated Press bureau chief in Saigon during the Vietnam War, and Alyssa Adams, who is the widow of Eddie Adams. We have a new book called Eddie Adams, Vietnam, which is published by Umbridge Editions, a gorgeous book. Large format book. And by the way, we have a slideshow with some images from the book on our show page at WNYC.org. You said that Eddie really didn't take a position on the war. So was he surprised that his photo was seen as an anti-war statement?
I don't think he was surprised by it. I think he was just a little upset by it. And he was more upset by the impact on Lo An, who he saw as a super nationalist and a protector of the Vietnam, the historic Vietnam, and that Lo An's was vilified unfairly because of the war, and that Lo An was really one of our guys, and of course, that's exactly what caught the attention of the people at large.
Well, I guess it's always shocking to see a gun actually being fired into the at close range,
oh,
into
exactly
the head
right.
of somebody, no matter who that person is.
Exactly right.
There are also photos of Vietnamese boat people in the book. Were they taken after the war was over?
Those were taken in 1977. Eddie said he had read like a really small, tiny little piece in the New York Times on the refugees in Thailand being sent out, not being able to land and being pushed back out to sea. And so he He went over there for the AP, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell the rest of the story?
What had he been doing after the war?
It was 2 years after the war, and there were a lot of refugees, one way or another, and many of them floating around in the ocean trying to find a home outside of Vietnam. And he went to Bangkok because that seemed to be the center of these things, and he was trying to get the Thai maritime police to help him, and they said, well, there's a boat down there now, and he ran down, and they were about ready to pull him out, and he said, wait a minute, and he bought him some rice and some gasoline and got on the boat, and out they went. So he made his pictures, and then all of a sudden he realized, hey, I'm out here. How am I? You know, there were pirates around in those days, too, and the Bureau knew he was out there. They'd known he'd gone out in the ocean with these people, so they informed the police, and they went out and found the boat, ordered Eddie off, and took him back.
Although this is par for the course, he was always putting himself in vulnerable situations. All war photographers put themselves in vulnerable situations because you don't have a gun. You're standing there getting a picture, and you're an easy target, aren't
you? Very easy target. Eddie was motivated only by the picture, and everything else came second and third, and for that reason, he did end up in vulnerable positions.
Did that photo or some of the other more memorable pictures change his life?
Change his mind?
His life.
His life. I don't think it changed Eddie's life. It made him much more, well, he was very well known, but he was even better known after the picture. It didn't change his life.
Well, the picture.
Do you think that's the case, Alyssa?
I think he.
Because people from then on associated him with one photograph, even though he'd taken so many.
Yes, and that was what he resented. But yes. In terms of who he was as a person, I think he was born fully formed.
Well, a number of people have said that the Iraq War hasn't produced any photos as powerful as Eddie's or Nick Ut's photo of the running Vietnamese girl who'd been burned by napalm. And maybe we would have a different attitude toward toward Iraq if these kinds of pictures have been taken there as well. Horrifying things are happening.
You could be right. That's a speculative, the answer has to be speculative. There's no question that Eddie's picture had an influence on the political scene in the U.S. A lot of people say it ended the war. It didn't end the war. The war went on for 7 years. It went on longer after the picture than before. But
American public opinion changed.
That's right, it did. A lot of people on the fence were thrown into the anti-war camp by the picture.
What about the pictures of the Vietnamese boat people? He showed them to Congress and President Carter. Did they have any impact?
I think at that point it convinced them to allow the refugees to come into the United States. It was one of the things that was presented to them, and I think it contributed to their decision.
Yeah. So his photographs did really have a powerful effect.
Well, in the case of the boat people, there was specific legislation that came out. Those pictures were shown in Congress, and specific legislation came forth that allowed the refugee numbers to be increased in the United States.
There are remembrances by David Halberstam, Tom Brokaw, Peter Arnett, and other journalists in this book. Do you see the book as a historical record of what it was like for the community of journalists covering the war?
I do. I mean, it's for a picture book, there's a lot of text. It's like 25,000 words that Hal wrote. And to me, the text, having the pictures and the text, they really support each other. And so I see it as much more than just a book of Vietnam photographs. It really is the story of how a journalist covered the war within the AP. It's about the camaraderie between journalists. It's about the relationship between journalists and the military and how it started out well and didn't end up so well.
Well, Hal, you were there. Do you, despite all the coverage, and we had, as you say, so much more in-depth coverage of the Vietnam War than any other war, even more than World War II, do you think that we have a really good idea of what happened, or are we still trying to work things out?
Well, the big problem in Vietnam was we got a very good and accurate picture of activities from the government and the American side, but we were unable to get any pictures and much coverage from the Viet Cong side, the atrocities that they committed. And so for that reason, there was some imbalance, but I think in the end, overall, it was an accurate portrayal.
We also have excerpts from Eddie's diaries here. What do they reveal about his attitudes toward the war?
Well, towards the war, not so much. Again, it gets back to his wanting to make pictures, and most of his comments were, well, I was supposed to make a great picture today and nothing happened, or I couldn't get on the right team and get out to where the action was, and it was that kind of a response.
But the stunner for somebody who takes pictures casually, somebody like me, is that you look at a series of photographs he takes of a certain incident, and every one of them is perfectly framed, is in focus. I would have been proud to take one picture that's as good as one of a whole series. I guess it's because photographers on this level just have great eyes.
Well, they have great eyes. They're experienced. They know how to anticipate, and they're motivated. You put that together, and you get good pictures. And Eddie was especially talented.
And getting to the right places, I think that's really the big part of it, too.
But even though he was an eye, as you point out, he did have strong feelings about these things, and he had a ceremony every year for photographers who were killed in the war, didn't he?
Yes, he still has. It still continues after his death up at his farm, and where we, Alyssa can address the workshop better than I can.
Yes, in 1988, he started the Eddie Adams Workshop, which is a workshop for young photojournalists. We take 100 people from all over the country, and they spend 4 days in Jeffersonville, New York, photographing and listening to photographers and photo editors from various publications. And Sunday afternoon is dedicated to there's a war memorial. We have a stone slate up there, and we have a ceremony for five photographers that were killed in Vietnam. It's Larry Burroughs, Andre Hewitt, Kent Potter, Nick Utz's brother.
Anton Mee.
There's also a documentary film about Eddie called An Unlikely Weapon, which just came out.
Right. Yes.
Is that available on DVD?
That is not available yet on DVD. It's been making the film festival circuit, and I think it is going to be opening up in about 40 cities, and they have those that listed on their website, anunlikelyweapon.com.
Now, Eddie went on to do celebrity photos for Parade and other magazines. Had he reached a point where he just felt he'd seen enough of war?
Yes, and that was about the time that I met him. Yes, exactly. He basically had gone to the lighter side. He started to work for Parade magazine. I guess he started with them either in the late 70s or the early 80s. And Walter Anderson was the editor-in-chief then, and he did a lot of work with Walter Anderson.
Are the photos in this book, Eddie Adams Vietnam, the ones that he won the Pulitzer Prize for?
Oh, yes, yeah. That's the whole sequence is in there. It's a there's probably 15 or more pictures of the whole sequence of the shooting scene.
Uh-huh. And that specifically was the thing that got him the Pulitzer Prize.
That's right.
I mentioned that sequence before. It's really stunning to watch it from beginning to end.
The whole thing beginning to end, yes.
Including the body on the ground.
Yeah.
I want to thank the two of you so much for being with us. I've been speaking with Hal Buell, who was the bureau chief in Saigon when Eddie Adams was shooting there. Alyssa Adams, Eddie Adams' widow. The book, Eddie Adams Vietnam, is published by Umbridge Editions. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.